This morning, I'm going to be talking about how we can speak to our mountains. The power of declaration. And I'm beginning in the book of Genesis. And if you'd like to turn, if you do have your Bibles on your phones, the book of Genesis begins with the Creator creating something out of nothing. What does He create? Something out of nothing. And it says here in the book of Genesis chapter 1, first this, God created the heavens and the earth. All you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's Spirit brooded like a bird above the water, above the watery abyss. God spoke, light, and light appeared. God saw that light was good and separated light from darkness. God named the light day, He named the dark night. It was evening, it was morning. And then we see the preceding verses continue to show how God spoke and He created. God declared, and because He declared, something was created. I'd like you to think of a happy thought right now. I want you to think about that happy thought. Can you find one? Find a happy thought of something that happened to you this week, maybe happened this morning, or whatever that thought is, and hold on to that thought, and we'll come back to that. Now, declaration is a powerful characteristic, and it is part of the nature of who God is, and is how He gets things done. That power is also a part of who you and I are. Why? Because we have been created in the image of God. So we are created with His characteristics, His nature. Now the Bible teaches us that life and death lies in the power of the tongue. And so what we speak, what we declare, what we confess, what we say matters to God. It matters, it should matter to you, and it impacts the world around you. All right? So what you declare matters to God, it should matter to you, and it impacts the world around you. Now let's go back to that happy thought. I want you to take that happy thought, and I trust you can share it with somebody. I want you to turn around to somebody either on your left or right and just share, this is my happy thought, and share that happy thought. Would you do that right now, please? All right. How many of you shared your happy thought? All right. Great. Had you ever shared that thought before? If you had, good. If you hadn't, it was a thought that was there. Now, what happens when you share that thought? You feel happy? Yes. You share it with somebody else. But here's something that happens that we lose sight of. When I share that thought, when you share that thought, when you speak what was invisible and you declare it out, you give shape and form to something that was simply a thought. You understand that? And that is what we need to understand, the power of declaration. The Bible refers to us as God having us in His thoughts. And then it talks about Him knitting us in our mother's womb and creating us. And so from thought to creation, there is something that must take place, and that is declaration. How many of you have thought great thoughts about your life? But how many of you declared those great thoughts? Some are saying, I'd like to say it, but maybe I shouldn't, because in case it doesn't happen. You see, fear keeps us from declaring what God wants us to declare over our lives. And so we need to learn to remove fear and speak with faith. Before I go any further, let me bring a necessary balance to this. Now, your decision to follow Jesus Christ is not your free pass to everything and anything material. I declare it and I have it. I want to have a 5-bedroom home with 3 parking spaces and 5 servants. I declare it in the name of Jesus. And I will keep declaring it. 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 And maybe one day I'll have it. So it's not just a point of, you know, whatever I want I can have, but your life with Jesus really is based on the fact that you have the promise of eternal life. But also in that journey between you getting to heaven and you living now here on earth, God does want us to experience something of heaven in sometimes the hell of our lives. So how do we change these circumstances? How can we live with the chaos, the confusion, the challenges of everyday living, knowing one day we will be in this perfect arena, knowing one day we will be with God in heaven? How do we now live in this time of transition between the now and eternity? We must not wrongly believe that if we proclaim something long enough, we can speak it into existence. That is not what I'm talking about. Our desire should not be to have our best life now, but to live, to have the attitude of the Apostle Paul, who had learned to be content in whatever state I am, he said. And so it's bringing balance in this, as you don't begin to believe that whatever I say is what I can get, so I just keep saying things till I get them. However, proclaim something long enough and you begin to believe it. Proclaim something long enough and you begin to believe it, positive or negative. You do have the power to influence your thoughts. You have the power to influence your mind and your emotions and the very heart of who you are. Now, where is the believer's heart? We learned the previous two Sundays. Where is the believer's heart? His mind. The believer's heart is his mind. Every thought you have is motivated by what you believe. So if I proclaim something, oh, I'm fat, 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 I soon begin to believe, yes, I'm fat, I am fat, I am fat, and what happens? I don't even see myself as somebody with a little bit of weight, I see myself as somebody who is now. Now that is true, speaking of me. I check my BMI, I'm on the obese side. So I'm working hard to get out of the obese arena of the BMI indicator. It was most disheartening. But what happens when what we believe is not true about who we are, but it becomes true because we have proclaimed it and spoken it long enough? When we go through a hard time, we begin to believe that we will never come out of this hard time. And so, because we begin to believe that, we begin to say our conversations, I don't think I'm ever going to come through this. I think this is my portion. I think this is it for me. This is the end of the road. And we begin to believe that, and we begin to declare that in our conversations, with ourselves, with our family, with everyone around us. And what happens? We begin to declare something that God has not portioned for us. So how do I move from that place? How do I transition from believing something that is wrong, proclaiming something over my life that is not what God wants me to speak over my life, and move to the place where I can declare God's purpose, His word, and His will for my life? I want to ask you a simple question. How were you saved? What did you do to come into a relationship where Jesus saved you from death and brought you into life? What did you do? You'd have said a prayer, but what was the basis of that prayer? You'd have heard somebody tell you from Romans chapter 10 verse 9, if you confess with your that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, consequence is you will be saved. Did you do any jantar mantar? Did you beat yourself up? Did you get angry with yourself? Did you punish yourself? No. The Bible says, if you confess, everybody say, confess with my mouth, that Jesus is Lord. That's one bit. And believe in my heart, that He died, and was raised from the dead, I am saved. So what is that? You take something that you believe and you confess it, and there is a consequence. You with me? And so your supernatural transition from death to life was what? Belief based on God's word that led to confession that changed your circumstance. Powerful, isn't it? Come on.
Yes.
Yes.
That's powerful. So why should I go around doing the same thing in a negative way? Oh, this is me. I am useless. And I don't think anything's going to happen. Oh, this, I always do this. Oh, and you start soon believing, ah, this is who I am. And you start acting like you are, and your belief, your confession leads to an alteration of your circumstances. If that has brought me to a negative place, cannot the same principle take me out of that place into a place where God wants me to be? Is that possible? When your declaration or your confession is fueled, everybody say, fueled.
Fueled.
No.
Fueled.
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 By God's word.
By God's word.
You give permission to the Spirit of God to begin to work in you. And until you begin to declare, you do not give God the permission to work with you. Which is why the Bible says there is power in our tongues, life and death. Speak life. When you confess and declare God's word, you begin a supernatural relationship and partnership with the Holy Spirit of God, and you unleash the power and the anointing of God over your life to do things, to achieve things, to be who God wants you to be. So what should you be declaring? I'm going to suggest four things that I want us to declare in life. Number one, declare life. Everybody say, declare life. You know the story of Ezekiel and the dry bones, and he's got these dry bones and God shows him this vision, and he's seeing this vision, and this is a picture of the state of the nation of Israel. And God is saying, look at the state of the nation of Israel, Ezekiel, I want to do something with this. You are the prophet, the man of the hour with the power right now. Ezekiel, I want you to see those dry bones. What are they? Dry bones, Lord. But not for long, says God. And God says, Ezekiel, now speak to those bones. Let's find that scripture. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look. Everybody say, look.
Look.
He changes his focus. He says, look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. God is speaking this about what? Dry bones. He is altering Ezekiel's belief that these are just dry bones to begin to think like he thinks before he can speak like God wants him to. And so when I don't think like God wants me to think, I never speak like God wants me to. When I don't think like God wants me to think, I don't speak like God wants me to speak. And then the Bible says, so, this is Ezekiel, I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke. Suddenly. It didn't happen suddenly after Ezekiel stood and watched the dry bones. It was suddenly as I spoke. There was a rattling noise all across the valley. Imagine this. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, something creative is happening amongst these dry bones. As I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover these bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message into the winds. So son of man, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And he speaks to the four winds and their life comes back into these dead. If you've got situations in your life that seem dead, if you've got situations and circumstances, you thought, God, I am so tired of seeing just aridness and barrenness and dry lands and nothingness. Even in that nothingness, I'm going to find out what your will is for me in that situation, in that circumstance, and I'm going to begin to believe what your word says about my circumstance. And I will now begin to dwell upon your word regarding that circumstance. And I will stop complaining and I will start proclaiming. Listen, all of us have complained too long. It is time for us to proclaim. Not just, ha, sab kuch ho jayega, sab kuch ho jayega, sab kuch. No, proclaim God's word about that circumstance, about that situation. I remember in my deepest hour of sickness, I began to accept my sickness. I had to come to a place where I needed to accept that God was allowing this in my life. I had to come to that place of surrender. But I also had to come out of that place and say, God, I will not always not be able to walk. God, I know I will not always be in this position. You will take me out of this situation and bring me to a place because you are still have breath in my life. I still have things to do. I still have a family to care for. I still have life within me. God, bring me out. And He did. Now for me it was like 3 years, but for God it was suddenly. But I had to believe that there was a way out. I had to proclaim that I will not be like this. I remember Amy Joy trying to come to terms with my condition, and in school they made a photograph frame of the family, and she'd accepted that I had arthritis, and she wrote on that,
no arthritis
in this family.
Proclamation.
A proclamation. Right while I was in the deepest pits of the pain and unable to move at all, she proclaimed, no arthritis in this family. Amen. Come on, can we take the fridge of our home and write in ink pen, no more death in our home? Oh, but then the family will come around. You say no more death. You're so much in debt, yeah, all your life. Can't say, no more debt, okay, no more debt, just pray for me. Can we declare and write on our walls, no more sickness, because Jesus wants me well. Come on, declare it. Don't whisper it. Don't complain, proclaim. No more debt, no more fatigue. You need to begin to proclaim. The power of declaration is so strong. Declare life over your life. Amen. The second thing is declare peace. I love Jesus in the boat with the disciples. A storm comes up. The disciples are freaking out. Ah, God, help! What are you doing? You're sleeping. And Jesus said, quit worrying. He stands up. Eventually, I think he was annoyed with them. It's like, come on guys, you have me in the boat and you're worried about drowning. Haven't you seen me heal the sick, speak to the demons, raise the dead, and now you're worried about drowning? And what does Jesus do? He stands up and he speaks to them. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Pretty comfortable. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, okay? He didn't wake up straight away. When he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly, what happened? Suddenly, the wind stopped. And there was a great calm. Then he said, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? You know, he said the word still have no faith. You know why? Do you know what had happened just before this? Do you know what miracle had happened before he went on the boat? They just fed 5,000 people. I mean, you still don't believe? Speak and declare peace in your circumstances of chaos. Whether it's to do with your finances, whether it's to do with relationships, whether it's to do with your place of work, whether it's to do with things that you're facing, speak and declare peace and have faith that God will come through for you. The third declaration is the declaration for change. Then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Now here's what many of us believe. The Bible was not talking about a literal mountain. In those days, an understanding of the word mountain was something that obstructed you from moving ahead. It was what we consider today a problem. That was the colloquial understanding of the word mountain. See, Jesus was not talking about us like Superman lifting a mountain up and moving it somewhere else like you see in the movies. All right? Superman does that. We can't. Because Superman is fantasy. We are real. So here's what we can do. We can speak to our mountains and they will. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. When you have faith the size of a mustard seed, Jesus said, you can move. So I don't know what the mountains are in your life, but take God's word and take God's word against that mountain. Problem is, where do I find God's word about my mountain? Now I'm coming to something. For many of us, we don't know where it is. And why don't we know where it is? So what do we proclaim over our mountains? Hato, hato, Yeshu ke naam mein. Hato, hato, Yeshu ke naam mein. No, why don't you try taking God's word about that sickness, about that circumstance? God says that I have been healed. And so I speak to my sickness according to God's word that I am healed. I don't feel like it, but I know I will be healed. I am trusting, I am believing, I am hoping. Amen. Rather than using our own language, take God's word. Because the supernatural is activated when we work with the supernatural word of God. Not some mysticism, jantar mantar, ye bolo, wo bolo, aisa karo, wo karo. No, it doesn't work like that. It is simple. God's word in my mouth is power. Amen. You can't complain with God's word. Now you look at the book of Psalms. It's full of complaining. Have you read it? It's a great book to go to when you're feeling sad. Oh Lord, woe is unto me that the enemy is chasing me. Oh Lord, woe is unto me. But God, you are my deliverer. Amen. But God, you are my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help in times of trouble. He goes from complaining to, most of us are still at the
complaining.
Move from the complaining to the broken. God, you know, it's so hard. I'm really struggling. I don't like where I'm at. But God, I know, according to your word, you have promised me good things. I am going to trust you. Day two, nothing has changed. Everything is still the same. I'm feeling as complaining as I did yesterday. But God, I'm going to believe in you. What does the word say about this? What is God's word? Oh, every good and perfect gift comes from God above. So what I have right now, it is not of God. So I'm waiting. Suddenly, God comes through. But if I'm not proclaiming, I'm not giving the Spirit the chance to do what the Spirit of God can do. The moment I proclaim, I bring heaven in partnership with me. You can speak to your mountains, whatever they may be, but you have got to have that faith, and faith comes from God's word. Are you encouraged?
Yes.
Fourth declaration I want you to have is a declaration of victory. Declaration is a spiritual weapon that you have been given. Go to war in prayer with it, proclaiming God's word over your challenging circumstances and situations. Go to war with God's word. I've learned when people hurt us, when unexpected calamities come our way, when sometimes we can see that things are not right and we can see it in the spirit, we've learned now over time not to talk about it and say, oh my God, I can see a 10-ton truck coming to me. Oh my gosh, it's a 10-ton truck. Oh my gosh, it's a 10-ton truck. No, rather I can see that 10-ton truck. Now according to God's word, before it hits me, I'm going to speak to it. I'm going to come against every plan that the evil one has against me. Every work of the devourer, I come against it in the name of Jesus. And according to God's word, I say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to pulling down the strongholds. And so before those strongholds bind me up and I become the person who is bound, I speak to them in faith and I proclaim God's word and say, devil, you will not have any room in my life. No, nothing that God hasn't planned for me will happen to me. Amen. Declare victory over your circumstances. Most of us are busy running. More counseling, more change, more this, more prayer. It's about time you learn to stand up and speak. Because when you speak, it's very different to me speaking for you. When you speak with an authority into your circumstance and declare victory over whatever you are losing in. The Bible promises us that He will restore 7 times what the enemy has stolen from us. 7 times. So you think you've lost one home? Great. 7 times. We can tell you story upon story where for whatever reason we have lost things or things have been taken away from us. And we've just trusted God. And we felt the pain and the ache and the heart of it. But then we've turned our hearts towards God and said, God, but your word says 7 times. Come on, people. The last is a declaration of blessing. Many of us spend so much time confessing our mess. The more you confess your mess, the more you empower your mess to mess with you. The more I confess my mess, the more I empower the mess to mess with me. Instead of realizing that you have access to the whole menu, you just have to place the... We wallow in this pool of a mess and believe that this is us when really all we need to do is to speak ourselves out of a situation. Come on. Begin to declare God's blessings over your life in the midst of your mess, whatever it is. You ready to declare God's word? Let's just stand up together. I've got 5 slides. We're going to declare. They're words of declaration. And we're going to read this together and believe for God to come through for each one of you. Let's read together. I am a child of God, saved by His grace. I am blessed to be a blessing. God loads me daily with benefits. He is my salvation. I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. And as a member of one body, I am called to peace and I am thankful. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. I am being strengthened with all power according to His might. I have great endurance and patience, for God has not given me the spirit of fear. He gives me power, love, and self-discipline. I am God's servant, and He takes pleasure in my prosperity. I meditate on God's word day and night. I am successful and prosperous. God makes all grace abound towards me, so that I always have all sufficiency and abundance of every good work. I honor the Lord with my wealth and the first fruits of all my produce. Then my barns will be filled with plenty. My vats will overflow with wine. I will bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. He opens the windows of heaven for me,
and pours out a blessing so great that I don't have enough room for it. I prosper in all things. I remain in health, just as my soul prospers. God abundantly blesses my provision. Jesus Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for me. I experience all blessings as I obey the law of my God. I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the country. The Lord makes me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I am my Father's child. I am always with him, and all that he has is mine, and I am loved and accepted.
Amen. This is God's declaration over your life that you declared with your own mouth. You need to believe it. As you allow your belief, your confession, and your declaration come together, God begins to transform your life. And the suddenly moments will come. Let's bow our heads and pray.
Can I just pray?
Yes. Come.
Thank you, Lord. This is just reminded me his word, my testimony. It's 6 years back, I had started with thyroid problem. And if you have level of 10, you are in a bad state. And I was in 80. And I couldn't walk, nothing. And my hair I was losing. I went to a specialist because I used to feel very bad for my hair. Maima took me and the doctor said, your roots are dead. They are going to just fall off. You are not going to have hair. And my doctor said, your internal parts will not work now. They'll be damaged because the thyroid levels have gone very high. And they gave some medicines which were not working on me. And I was crying. I came home. And I just heard that in my head, that verse of dead bones. I claimed, God, that the dead roots will come alive.
Amen.
By God's grace, I have hair.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
What a testimony.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
There's living proof.
Yes.
Amen. Thank God for
God's
that. Continued healing.
Yes.
The entire
Thank you.
Amen. Come in faith this morning.